It's always a joy to preach when there's a lunch all provided afterwards. No one is in a hurry to go home and get the roast out of the oven. It is a joy for us to be back at Allegheny Baptist. You've been an important part of our ministry since 1972. And we appreciate your faithfulness. We are so privileged to be able to come home and live in your cottage, first of all. It was wonderful. And we appreciate so much your hospitality and going above and beyond the call of duty. This time you even provided a vehicle for us, which is wonderful. And it has cruise control, which helps me immensely. Before we open scripture, I want to just thank the Lord for this opportunity today. Special to have my son Jeremy with us, and who's on a business trip, but the Lord worked it out for him to be in here at the same time. And my mother-in-law Ruth and sister Elizabeth are here with us today, and it's just a real joy for me to be able to have them with us. And I would like to just mention a little display in the rear of the auditorium. There are a couple books there. One show is a picture of all of our church members, our church people who've come to our church, and you might at least want to glance through and see what we look like over there in Italy. There's another book that is a history tour. It's a photo, how would I say, a journal of a tour we did. We've done four of them. We'll be doing a fifth one, the Lord willing, in October of 2017. Christian History Tour in Italy, which has been a great blessing for the people who have been able to come on it in the past. If you're interested, there's a sign-up list there. You can put your name and address, email, if you'd like to hear from us regularly with an email, whenever Rachel does it, about once a month. And then if any of you might be interested in having your own copy of our book, it's a second edition is coming out right now. Corrected a few of the mistakes. I didn't correct any of the history because how I wrote it is how I remember it. If you talk to my wife, she'll say, well, I don't know about that. And I'll say, well, mine is in print, okay? So when she does her book, then, you know, she'll tell her the rest of the story. But if you might be interested in a copy of your own of that book, you can put a little check by your name. When they are here, they'll be available for anyone who like to help us with the expenses. And our new prayer card, which is complete with all of our four children and their families, totally updated until this next week when, Lord willing, our 12th grandchild will arrive. And in August when our 13th will arrive, Lord willing. So, but if you'd like to have a prayer card, only thing I ask, please, do not put it on your fridge. I don't know what's happening, but I think I'm gaining weight. I think there's a little osmosis going on through the prayer cards. But anyways, please pick that up. And a couple other little items you might want to check out there on the table. We don't have snake skins and tarantulas in jars from Italy. We have soccer jerseys, okay? So you can check them out. As I prayed about our time together, a passage came to mind, which you've probably heard many times. And you say, well, I don't really see that as a missions passage. Well, in the last chapter of the book of John, we see a very moving situation where Peter, who had been called to serve the Lord, to become a fisher of men, after the death of Christ, the resurrection, that whole situation, he had given up on that call. And he said, I'm going to go fishing. And when he said that, all the others, because Peter was a leader, they said, well, I'll go too. You know, so they all followed him, going back to doing what they should not have been doing. And then we see a very wonderful situation where the Lord comes back and takes control of the situation, which we'll see is kind of a deja vu, the same setting as their original call. to remind them of what he had called them to do. And this whole thing, to me, is very important in the area of missions as we look at the beginning of the missions conference. Because as I played earlier, serving God is going to be motivated by our love for him. And we'll see how the Lord asked Peter some very searching questions. Would you open your Bibles with me to John 21? I'd like to read this portion for us. Beginning in verse 1, John 21. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, two others of his disciples were gathered together. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we will go with you. They went out and got in the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? They answered him, no. He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved, therefore, said to Peter, is it the Lord? When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciple came to the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire with fish laid on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you've just caught. So Simon Peter went abroad and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, yet the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, Lord, yes, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say unto you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. Heavenly Father, we ask in these moments together that your Spirit would guide us, direct us, illumine us, and change us. With the power of your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to be talking this week, and our theme is the heart of missions, his fame in all the world. We don't answer God's call and go serve to do something for ourselves or put our name on a building, but we do it for the fame and the glory of the Lord. This will not happen if we do not start from a heart of love for our Savior and realizing what he's done for us. Basically, it all started when Jesus called his disciples. And interesting, back in Luke 5, where there's the initial call, and Jesus called these fishermen to leave their nets, he said, I will make you fisher of men. And they left all to follow him. They left him with good spirits. They were excited about what was going to happen. But in the passing years, with 3.5 years approximately, they came to see their Savior killed they participated. They were just learning about his resurrection, but they still had hearts full of a lot of questions about this call. And it was time for the Lord to renew that call for them. And I don't know about you, but you know, there are many times when we know what God has called us to do, but sometimes we get discouraged, and sometimes we just need to get encouraged to get back on track, get back doing what he called us to do. And that was the case with the disciples, especially Peter in this portion of Scripture. He needed his call to be renewed. And you see in this, that Peter, who was a leader, and we see him, he's the first name in all the lists. He wasn't the first pope, by the way, but he was a leader. And a leader, even when they make a mistake sometimes, they bring consequences. And what happened? Peter said, well, I'm going to go fishing. And the rest of them say, well, you know, I'll come along. Okay. So he took the whole group that I'm called to be fishers of men. He took the whole group back on the sea to go fishing again. Well, when we take a step in disobedience, can we expect God's blessing? They fished all night and got nothing. Experienced fishermen, they got nothing. And then the Lord steps in and says, why don't you just try on the other side of the boat? I'm sure any of those experienced fishermen would have said, Lord, what in the world? That doesn't make any difference at all. But they obeyed and he blessed them. Then, of course, the Lord prepared breakfast for them. One thing I did not enjoy in Israel was the fish for breakfast, but some people like it. They had it. They enjoyed it. And after breakfast, the Lord just took Peter aside. And he knew that Peter needed some encouragement to get back on track. You think of the world evangelism, the gospel going around the world. It started with these men, And it was so important that Peter would have his heart right before God so they could get going, doing what God had called him to do. Well, it had been so easy for Peter many times to say, well, Lord, I'll do it for you. I'll be faithful. In fact, it's very easy for any of us in a moment of emotion and in a moment of joy, enthusiasm to say, I'll do it. I'll go for God. It shocked me as a young person when God called me to serve him to hear the statistic of 100 people who presented themselves for missionary service, 10 actually ended up applying to become a missionary, 5 ended up actually arriving on the field, and maybe 1 of those or 2 actually ended up being a career missionary. Incredible. Peter risked being one of those casualties. He had already denied his Savior. He'd gone back to the old life. But Peter had said in Matthew 19:27, Peter had said, Lord, we have left everything and followed you. What's in it for us? You see how Peter was motivated by pride in that, making a statement like that. In Matthew 26, Peter had said, though they all fall away because of you, I will never fail you. Motivated by self-confidence. He was sure of what he could do for God. In John 13, Peter had said, Lord, why cannot I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. In his own ignorance, not seeing his own weaknesses, looking at himself, think, I am strong. Jesus had said, what I have to do, I have to do by myself. Peter said, no, no, I want to come with you. I can do it. In Mark 14, in his tendency to judge others, Peter had said, even though they all fall away from you, I will not. How many times we're tempted to look at others and say, well, I'm better than that person. I will do it. I will do it. And Peter did the same thing. And in Peter's own inability to see the future, in Luke 22, he had said, the Lord Jesus actually said to him, Satan has demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brethren. Jesus basically said to Peter at a certain point, Satan is going to be testing you, but I'm praying for you. That when you've gone through this situation, you will strengthen your brothers. You will do what I've called you to do. And so many times we are just like Peter, aren't we? We get enthused about doing something for God. And, I've seen this many times in my own life, in the lives of others. Enthusiasm. And then at a certain point, well, nobody even said thank you to me for what I did. Nobody even came up and gave me a pat on the back for all that work. I'm not going to do it anymore. And I would say, if you're serving God in this local church, which you need to be doing, if you're doing it for a pat on the back, forget it. If you're doing it for God's glory, you will be faithful. Peter had gotten off on the wrong foot. He had the idea he was strong and that he could accomplish something for God in his life. And what did he do? You know the story. He denied the Lord 3 times on the evening before his crucifixion. You can imagine the sense of failure that he felt at this time. Total failure. He had failed his Savior. No wonder he wanted to go back and go fishing. Fish don't talk back. You can just go out there and enjoy, you know. He was a failure. But Jesus saw the importance of Peter. As he looks at you, he looks at me. And he knows what he's planned for our lives. He knows what he can accomplish for his glory through us if we're only yielded and ready to be used. And Jesus calls Peter's side. He says, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? I've done a lot of thinking about this. I always thought maybe he was just saying, do you still think you love me more than the rest of these disciples? Which is a possibility. But you know what I think? Peter had gone back on his call to go back fishing. Maybe Jesus said, Peter, do you love me more than these fish? This livelihood? Do you love me more than these, what you see? And they brought in all these interesting, they couldn't move these fish. Peter went out there and brought the whole bunch of them up on land. Jesus, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than what you thought you're going to do for the rest of your life? Do you love me more than what you dedicated your life to after you gave up on what I called you to do? Because I had said you would become fisher of men. Do you love me more than these? Interesting, that word love, there are 3 words for love in the Greek language. That word for love is, Peter, do you love me with a sacrificial love? Do you love me with a sacrificial love more than these? Are you willing to sacrifice your life for the fish and not for me? Or do you think you're going to be stronger than your other brothers, the other apostles? You think you love me with a sacrificial love more than that? Well, Peter knew he didn't because he'd already denied the Lord. So Peter responds, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. But he didn't say, Lord, I love you with a sacrificial love. He said, Lord, you know that I love you as a brother, as a friend. I'm not quite at that level, Lord, but you know I love you a little bit. So Jesus responds to him, feed my lambs. And talking about these little lambs, I like to think of it in terms of evangelism. Peter's ministry was going to be one of reaching out to lost people, preaching the word. Feed my lambs, my little sheep, those who I'm going to call to follow me. You need to be out there. Feed my lambs. Well, then Jesus probes a little bit deeper here in the heart of Peter, and he says, Simon, son of John, John, do you love me with a sacrificial love? First he asked him if he loved him with a sacrificial love more than the others, or more than those fish. Now he says, well, since you say you don't, do you really love me with a sacrificial love? Maybe you don't want to put yourself, compare yourself with others at this point. But do you love me with a sacrificial love, Peter? Peter responds, yes, Lord. But, we say that to the Lord, don't we? Yes, Lord, but. I'll serve you, but. Yes, Lord. You know that I love you with a love of a friend. In other words, no, Lord, I don't love you with a sacrificial love, but I do love you some. I love you as a friend. And at that point, Jesus renews this call to him, saying, tend my sheep. And I like to think of this as we, part of the serving God, we are interested in reaching out, seeing people born again, brought into the family of God by faith, by grace, by the grace of God through faith. But that doesn't end there. We need to take care of them, mature them, teach them, bring them along. And missions accomplishes nothing if all it does is has a list of people who have raised their hand or people who have signed on the dotted line. Because serving God means bringing people to faith, bring them the word so the Spirit of God can bring them to faith, and then maturing them, discipling them. And here I believe he's talking about bringing these people along in maturity, growth. I talked to a man the other day in Walmart, and he said, oh, I used to go to church, but now I've had it at local churches. I think with my wife and I, we read the Bible or we listen to Vernon McGee or something. I said, well, you know, that's great, but you know, God's program for world evangelism is through the local church, informing local churches. And what that means is not only somebody trusting Christ, but it means they're going to be baptized, they're going to be matured, they're going to be brought along in the faith, turned into servants themselves. That's what missions is all about. And the Lord is saying to Peter, okay, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Tend my sheep. Well, then the Lord asks the third question, which just breaks Peter's heart. Peter's already admitted twice that he didn't love the Lord with a sacrificial love. He knew it. And Jesus says to him, "Well, Peter, do you love me as a friend? Do you really love me as a friend? If you're not ready to give your all for me, Peter, how much do you love me?" And I think so many times we think we'd like to do something for God, but if it could only be a part-time thing. Working a secular job does not mean you're not doing something for God. Because when you're on the job, you're 100% there for God's work, for His service. It may mean getting on a plane and being a missionary somewhere, I don't know. But whatever you're doing, you are a 100% Christian. And your life on the job, in a very difficult place, is a life where you need to demonstrate your willingness to be sacrificed, to sacrifice yourself for the Lord, to love Him so much that you're willing to stand up for wrong, against the wrong, you're willing to stand up for truth, you're willing to give a testimony even though you and I might cost you something, but you're not about it 50%, 100%. Peter says to the Lord, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you as a friend." And it broke his heart because he knew that the Lord had called him to serve, to be a disciple, to be an apostle, to go around the world with the gospel. And he knew that he couldn't do that as a 50% Christian with a minimal love for the Lord. It had to be all. So the Lord replies to him, "Feed my sheep." And then the Lord says something incredible here to Peter. "Peter, okay, you failed me. You don't sense that you do have that sacrificial love for me. I understand. But I want to tell you something. Someday, you're going to have it." Because he said, he who calls us knows what it will take for us to demonstrate supreme love for him. You say, "Well, Lord, I don't have that love right now." And the Lord says, "You will. You will. I will help you." He knows our past, our future, and our present. "Truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands, and another would dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show. And John the Apostle puts this little parenthesis in here for us. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. We've all heard the story about Peter's martyrdom. When he was brought to be martyred, he said, "Please, don't crucify me like you did my Savior. I'm not worthy to die in the same way he died. Please crucify me upside down." What I hadn't known before I did a little more study on this, before they crucified Peter, in front of his eyes, they crucified his wife. They killed her first. And then they took Peter and crucified him. So Jesus was saying to Peter after his time of failure, "Peter, I understand. But be of cheer, because someday your life will glorify me in a very special way. You will learn a sacrificial love for me. And then Jesus just says, so, follow me. Come after me. Let's go. Let's do it. And we know that that was a turning point in the life of the Apostle Peter. Became a great missionary, a great man of God, a great evangelist, ready to serve God to the very end. We live in Italy, and it is a privilege to live there because there's so much history. And I've been thrilled by doing some studies out of Fox's Book of Martyr on the first three centuries of Christianity, what Christians went through, who were willing to go all the way for the Lord. There's a story of a lady, a very well-to-do lady in Rome. Her name was Felicity. That means happy, happiness, felicità in Italian. At a certain point, the Lord blessed her home. She was married. She was married to an unbeliever. Actually, she came to faith, and her husband didn't. They raised seven children, seven boys. At a certain point, however, they were taken by the authorities. Several of her boys were beaten to death. One was thrown off a high cliff, so he died. And the last remaining three were beheaded. They then took that very sword with which they had beheaded her last three children and took her head as well. And she died for her faith in Rome in the second century after Christ. I'm sure when she trusted Christ, she had no idea that that might be the end she would face. But when time came, she had done her job as a mother. She had prepared her children to meet the Lord. And they were ready to meet him almost all together. I don't know where you're at spiritually today. I don't know how many of you at one time or another said to the Lord, Lord, I'll do that for you. But with discouragement, with many things, issues that come up, you backed off on that and think, well, maybe the Lord forgot about that. Well, he didn't. And maybe you've been living with a sense of failure because you know you're not doing what God really put on your heart to do for him. Well, maybe your time is right now, as was Peter's time, when the Lord recalled him, brought him in, he said, Peter, I know what happened. I know what you did. But I also know that I called you, and you will serve me. And I would be just excited if, as you're going to be here, I'm sorry, we can't be here for the whole conference. But as you have opportunities here, the ministry around the world, if God would challenge your heart in a new way about serving him, give you a new enthusiasm. First place to start, if God does something in your heart really special this week, the first place to start would be to go up to the pastor and say, Pastor, what can I do to help around the church? Now, after he picks himself up off the floor, I'm sure he'll have an idea for you how you can start serving God in this local church. What you can do to reach out. You have such a great mission field all around you. I look at that campus across the street. That is incredible. You have so many opportunities. But it takes people. We read earlier, Pastor read in Romans, how shall they hear without a preacher? Well, we read that from that chapter. God is going to save people, but he's going to use you and me to get the gospel to them. And maybe God, I pray He will, in this week, you will be here, your ears open, saying, Lord, what can I do for you? Maybe there might be someone who says, man, I would really like to do something for God in Italy. And come back after lunch, we're going to talk about the ministry there. But the first step is not going somewhere else to serve God. The first step is finding here in this local church where you can serve God. And if God puts that burden on your heart, maybe you failed before. Maybe you started and didn't finish. Maybe you started but just got so discouraged, just let it go. Well, it's time to come back and pick up the reins again and start moving forward for God. It takes humility to do that. It takes somebody who's willing to say, I was wrong. Forgive me, I'm sorry. But that is exactly what Peter had to do that day when Jesus reached down out to him to renew that call in his life. And he can do the same for you. Maybe you've never come to know Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe you're kind of looking in from the outside right now. But there's no reason to stay like that, because the invitation to you is still open to recognize your need of a Savior, to recognize the fact that Jesus died for you, to put your trust in Him, become a new creature by His grace, and then He can do something for you and through you for His glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for Your Word. There are so many lessons that are practical for our needs of everyday life. I want to thank You for this church, Your faithfulness to it through these many years. And I ask now, as we head into this week's missions conference, that we would all be ready to listen and to discern what You would have us for You to do for Your glory with our lives. There may be some young people that You would call to serve You on a mission field. Maybe some that You would call to serve You in a special way in this local church. But we are convinced that You're going to do something this week for Your glory. Bring us back to recognize where we've failed You. Be ready to confess it, forsake it, and move forward for Your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.